Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Game Day podcasts from TalkSport. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Game Day, the record book.
Well, welcome once again to the Record Book podcast on the Game Day channel with me, Danny Kelly, and Tom Rennie. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm the same, Danny. I'm the same. Oh, I'm all right. I'd like to think about 5 out of 10.
Yeah, we've just been discussing before we started. Thank you very much for joining us, incidentally, and downloading this rear end, this rump of a podcast, if you like. How weird it is. We've all now got brilliant new ways with which to communicate with each other, but absolutely nothing to actually communicate. So we'll lash straight into the football. And it's a moment here. And I know Tom has got 1 million things he wants to say. He is, incidentally, for those of you watching, not in Technicolor, wearing a hat. It's a Boston Red Sox hat, if I'm not mistaken.
Very good.
It's very good of him to join in. I, of course, will be blowing his Boston Red Sox hat out of the water very soon with a choice of Titfers that I'm going to adopt in just a few minutes' time. For those who are not regular listeners, don't worry about it. let me just start by saying that today is a great day for me because for the last 20 years I have been laughed at by ill-shod street urchins, literally idiots have laughed at me in the street because every time the World Cup comes around and there's an argument and corruption about where it should be, I have suggested that we should do it on a specially constructed World Cup island, preferably somewhere in the North Atlantic, so that the temperatures will be good for the summer World Cups. What you do is that you put a few hotels on it, big stadiums, a good airport, and 3 years out of four, it's left there as a bird sanctuary. And then 1 year out of four, it explodes back into life as a place for the World Cup, hence so you have no bidding for it, and the World Cup isn't corrupt. I've called this for many years the World Cup Island, without any great imagination. And then when I realized that no one was ever going to take notice of me, I decided I would call it Danny Kelly's World Cup Island. I was actually going to take the credit for it, since it was never going to get built. But in the last 24 hours, Tom, we see that the Premier League is about to be finished in what is essentially World Cup Island.
They are listening to you. Are you in the meetings? Were you there midweek? Is this your pitch?
Well, that's another thing. These meetings they have on a Friday in the Premier League, why don't they televise them? They would be absolutely fantastic. A, it could count towards their TV contract with Sky, which they're all so worried about. And B, if they've got nothing to hide, it's also transparent. The reasons why Club X and Club Y want to do this and that, televise the blinking thing.
It'll be tough to do that considering David Gold is in these meetings and he's in his mid-80s. And I've had Zoom conversations with people in their mid-80s. It takes about 45 minutes to get them to turn it on. So have we got the time?
But to be fair, my mum, we have a massive family Zoom on it tends to be Wednesday evening.
You're so modern.
I know, but there's a lot of screens because a lot of us. She has only taken literally three Zoom meetings. She's worked out now that when you shout, you become the biggest picture. And so whereas for 2 weeks, she just sat there and sort of nodded and waved at people. Now she waits for a gap in the conversation and bursts out some question or other about a wedding that's happening in September in order to dominate the conversation so they can learn people over 85.
I want to watch that. That's what should be televised. Not the Premier League meeting, the Kelly family meeting. This has got late night Channel 4 written all over it.
Oh, it's terrible. It tends to be about how bad everyone's hair is looking. including my niece, who takes an hour in the morning. She works in the City of London. She takes an hour in the morning to straighten her hair. Now, no amount of telling her but proved by the recent Zoom meetings, she looks so much better when she lets it just go like a lion. And the idea of ironing your hair straight. Now, where were we?
Did think you were wearing a hat because your hair is so, like, tall and spiky right now. I'm used to seeing you quite well-groomed and well-trimmed.
Yes.
It looks a little bit like half a crown.
Yes. My hair, where it does grow in white tufts, grows like wildfire. So if you ever take, you know, a dandelion, after you've given it the first blow to see what time it is, that's how my head would look.
It's
normally
a bit like you've just started going down the roller coaster and the picture's been taken. Yeah. I love it.
So this thing about Australia then, and yes, all going to Australia, Danny Kelly's World Cup Ireland in Perth, a starter for you, Tom?
The fact that they're going to fly 20 squads to Perth, and then they're going to play at several venues, not just one venue. They're not a country that don't have coronavirus in any way, despite this agent that's repping this story, Gary Williams, it's his idea, this agent guy. No element of this makes sense, but it makes about as much sense as finishing the season at 8 neutral venues for 20 teams. And unsurprisingly, you know, the bottom six have gone, well, hold on, we're going to lose our 5 home games that might keep us in the league. We'll take relegation away and we'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? By the time people listen to this podcast, things will have moved on again. But at the moment, they need a 2/3 majority for any of these things to go through. And the idea of, if I may be so bold, West Ham volunteering to play their precious home games, all the thread by which their survival in the Premier League hangs, on, you know, at Oldham's ground, it's just not going to happen, is it?
To be fair, though, if West Ham were playing in a venue with no fans and no atmosphere, no players would notice the difference. But the other teams, they may well have an issue, like the Amex. Paul Barber's been on TalkSport all week. He seems to be talking nonstop. Yeah. He's like the new Graham Norton. He's on TV and radio so much. But, you know,
he's the only barber we have access to these days. Boom, boom.
Very nice. But he's absolutely right. Why would Brighton give those games up? Why would Watford give those games up? To what end? To play our last 3 games of the season at London Stadium? No. It makes no sense. But I do what I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago. If you take relegation off the table, you watch everybody fall into line and say, let's get these games on.
Sure.
And I think that's going to be the only way it's going to be agreed, I'm afraid.
And I think I'm not sure where we're going with this. I think we're going to end up with a really horrible fudge. The season will be voided. Liverpool will be awarded an honorary title. They can probably wear half a star on their shirt or something. Because if you say we're not going to relegate anybody, you can't announce champions either, then can you?
I don't know. I think you've got to come to... I've always thought from the moment this began, you've got to come to a solution where people get rewarded and they don't get punished. And so there are rewards for winning the league. There are rewards for finishing in the European places. I'm happy with points per game for European places.
I'm
despite
not.
The protestations of like Arsenal fans, it's not the same thing as getting relegated. Like, it's not the same sort of punishment. So get that all sorted. And then relegation, get it off. Bring up 3 from the Championship. They can have a playoff at the end of the season. Bring up the top 2. We're all happy and we all get our games back.
No, we're not happy then. The teams who are in the race for Europeans won't have that. That's not going to work either.
It doesn't make any difference to if you finish in Europe or you don't. Then there's going to be a point where actually it doesn't matter that much, does it?
Without getting too...
There's no transfer window, is there?
This podcast is not normally the place, or whatever's left of this podcast, the sort of smouldering ruins of a once great podcast.
Whatever we're doing now.
It's not the place for the details, is it? But the trouble is, just as teams want a budget to go down, they budget to finish in the Champions League, however foolishly that may be. We'll see what happens. Now, one place where football is going on, and I know people, particularly the fans of the under siege Red Lions, are desperate to know how it's gone this week in Taiwan.
Fabulous results this week. And I've got to tell you, I've been doing some research for you. I've been butchering...
Oh, 1 second. Yeah, but I'll come back in a second.
It's time for a hat, is it? We should do a hat change first.
Yeah.
And there's no way of knowing if this is a hat or... Where's Danny gone? He's now camouflaged.
But hats with a camouflage print on it is one thing. This is a ghillie hat where the camouflage is 3-dimensional. I've got actual leaves all over my head, haven't I?
A listener from last week did get in touch to say they would send you from last week's show one of those little mouthpieces that makes the duck quack.
Oh,
which would go perfectly with this hat.
Indeed, it would. And I thanked him very much on Twitter. And I'm awaiting through the good offices of the Canadian Post Office. And he's sent it from Canada, isn't he?
That's the only place they sell them, I think. I don't think you can actually buy them in other countries. I'm not sure.
I think I replied to his very, very kind tweet with just a single word, quack. And I hope he understands the positivity of that.
He can translate it. He just blows through the thing the other way and it works, comes out in English. That's how they work. Taiwan Premier League?
Yeah.
Is he up for it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Ntupes, who I've butchered every week, N-T-U-P-E-S. I've actually found out what that means.
Oh, this is your research? Okay, cool.
I've done some research. It was almost 30 seconds of research. Mm-hmm. That is actually the name for the National Taiwanese University of Sport. And so I'll be calling them as such from this point. So the results from the Taiwan Premier League week
are as follows.
Tainan City 0, Taichung Futuro 1. Tatung 5, the National Taiwan University of Sport 1. Taipei Red Lions 1. Tai Power 6.
Oh, they're going.
Useless. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Yeah. The $7 billion worth of bets going on the league next week should probably not go on the Red Lions. Also, Hanghuan 1, Mingchuan University 0.
So the Red Lions, another terrible defeat for them.
Bottom of the league, no points, 4 defeats, 3 scored, 17 conceded.
They can't keep clean sheet, can they?
Not great.
I mean, I know I've got nothing to do myself here, or from one end of the week until this podcast comes around. You can't imagine how delighted I am to see your face and that of Jeremy. And these are words you never thought you'd hear, are they?
No one's ever said
that
to me.
I'm so delighted to see your fizzogs there on the screen. But of course, we need to research. There must be somebody English out there in Taiwan either playing or coaching in these leagues. We must find them out. We may even, Jeremy, I'm looking at you, get them on the show.
Seems unlikely from Jeremy's face he's going to be working on that this week, but we'll find it out.
Absolutely not. what have you got for us?
I've got loads of little tidbits for you to get your view on. This show is going to go out on the Monday, Monday the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you. And there's a great story coming from Italy because they're going to be relaxing some of their lockdown measures. Now, everyone's favourite paper in Italy is the Gazzetta dello Sport. Everyone loves it. James Richardson, big pink paper, all that sort of stuff. Well, it's hitting the newsstands for the first time this Monday as we record the programme. And to celebrate the fact they're back on sale again, to all people who buy it as a way of raising everyone's spirits, they're giving away a free Italian flag. And also, the first page will be a poster of the 2006 World Cup final, which, of course, they won.
Oh, amazing. That's fantastic, though, isn't it? All of that is good.
It is nice. It's not something I'd probably leave the house for. If I've been under lockdown for 7 weeks and they say, like, you can get out the house now, you can either get milk, bread, medication, or an Italian flag in a poster of the 2006 World Cup, I think I'd probably stay at home.
I don't know about that. I think there's a kind of... We'll see, actually. We'll see what people value when we come out of this.
What flag would you leave the house for, Danny?
That of the Ivory Coast. because, of course, it serves two purposes. You can support the Ivory Coast at football, or if they do badly, you just turn it upside down. It's the Republic of Ireland, isn't it?
Or so if you're Russian, go out and get a Netherlands flag.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing.
So you get two runners in the race, so to speak.
Double flagging.
What else, Tom?
One of the great stories when there was a football season, by great stories, I mean petulant, horrible stories, was when Paris Saint-Germain knocked out Borussia Dortmund from the Champions League. There was Neymar, Git, and all the rest of them all doing the infamous Erling Haaland meditation pose. And they did They did it on the field over and over again. Now, Erling Haaland is, I think, still 19, maybe 20 now. But he was certainly 19 last time I checked such things. And he was asked about it this week in an interview somewhere in Europe, I'm assuming in Germany, and translated. He said they asked him if he was upset by the Paris Saint-Germain players doing this. And bearing in mind, he's probably the youngest person involved in this whole story, him and Kylian Mbappe. And he said, no, I wasn't upset, to be honest. I think they helped me a lot to get meditation out in the world and to show the whole world that meditation is an important thing. So I'm thankful they helped me do that.
That's very good of him, isn't it? That's pretty good of him, isn't it?
And it's very good for you to bring another hat in. Is it a fascinator you're wearing now?
I'm wearing a fascinator. I don't know if maybe it's not the right way around. You probably can't. Oh, that'll probably make it much better. There you go.
Is it a Sunday?
It is indeed a Sunday. A hat that my better half wore. Oh, excuse me. Ooh. Now my hat's fallen on the microphone.
You need a little bit more hair at the front to hold it on. That's what the fascinators are for.
But I was trying to hold it at the front so you could see it. It is the fascinator that my better half wore to my brother's wedding in September last. You remember we could go out, go to weddings, drink, dance, etc. It's an ice cream cone. It's very good, isn't it?
It is very good and appetizing as well. It seems like when you get towards the dregs of a wedding, it's the kind of thing that maybe Uncle Bill would lick.
You realise I am actually Uncle Bill in those scenarios, don't you?
Yeah, I knew you were. Yeah. I think of you as the Uncle Bill of this podcast. That's how it works. But that's nice. Did you feel like you learned a lot from about meditation from the Paris Saint-Germain players? Do you think Neymar meditates?
I think he thinks about himself a lot, if that's the same thing. That whole Paris Saint-Germain group of players, and I know that Spurs keep buying players from that club, but overall, I think they are an exact illustration of why some of these projects out of the Middle East just go completely bang. I've used the analogy before, I'll say it again. They're a Fabergé egg, aren't they? Absolutely stunningly beautiful on the outside and hollow as a bell inside. And the way their players react to those of Dortmund, who, let's be honest, are a very honest group of young players by comparison with the multimillionaires of, I'm not sure they're not badly heeled themselves, but compared to PSG, PSG will never win the Champions League. No. They will never have enough heart in that club to win the Champions League.
How would you feel if the hollow bell Neymar signed for Spurs? I always wonder that.
I don't think he's a good enough player. I think he's a decent player, but isn't he massively overrated?
Would he get in the side in front of Eric Lamella?
Yes, he would. But what would you... I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Eric Lamella because, of course, he's a throwback to the 1980s where even the most creative player had to be a clogger. Eric is when Spurs decide that the game needs to be a change of direction, i.e. we need to kick these at the oppo, they bring Eric on, don't they? Because even though he is a winger, and to use an old-fashioned phrase, being Argentinian and without pushing to racially stereotype any group or nationally stereotype, he just comes on and clogs people.
The man's a hacker. He's not the creative forward you think he is. He's a full-on thug, and I love him for it.
Yeah, that's why he's good, yeah. Now, Neymar, unfortunately, his reputation is far, far outweighs his actual abilities, or certainly his achievements. And when he was being built up to be the next Lionel Messi, I mean, beggars belief, actually.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
I'm glad you mentioned a bit of the Middle East here, Paris Saint-Germain, because I've got to just briefly raise this story. So as we record the show, Newcastle has still not been bought by the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. It's ongoing. Right. But there is already ownership from the extended 700 people in the family of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in the Premier League in Sheffield United. Prince Abdullah is the owner of the Blades. And there's a great story this week that I absolutely love this. So Amnesty International were involved in this, as you know. They've raised concerns about the purchase of Newcastle United. Well, Media House International have contacted Amnesty International and Clive Betts, who's the MP for Sheffield South East and a member of the all-party parliamentary football group, to probe the sustainability, according to the Sun, of the Prince and Blades chairman who is running the club. And in their document, they have written, "How does someone such as Prince Abdullah run Sheffield United without Saudi influence? Now that his much more important cousins are running a rival team. I would not imagine that Newcastle losing to Sheffield United will be an event taken lightly, given Saudi Arabia's track record for knee-jerk imprisonments of various royal family members." Essentially suggesting that if Newcastle beat Sheffield United, Prince Abdullah might be going to jail.
I mean,
what's going on here in this world?
I saw that story and I thought about myself. I've gone pretty far in criticizing the Saudi royal family on radio and everyone, in fact, in the street, if anyone asks me. But this, the idea, I suspect that something's going to be frog marched off to one of their no doubt terrible Lubyankas just because their one football team's beating the other. I'm not sure. Actually, but though the stuff that does go on, the poor old journalist in the Turkish embassy, yeah, etc., tells you that story. It's far-fetched, but not impossible.
So we'll joke until it happens.
Like so much in 2020, an absolute laugh until it actually comes down. let me look at the list of things. Just what happens here, listeners, I'm so glad to have you along for the ride, is that I spend the week looking for new hats to wear, and Tom produced a massive list of interesting things to
I
talk about.
I have got
about.
Another hat for you.
Let's have it. Let's have it.
So my Boston Red Sox hat comes off.
Which is very nice. I like a baseball hat.
To be replaced by...
Very, very good. Now, old man in pigeon loft style. Very good.
An old man should be wearing a barber jacket covered in various animal feces, flat cap.
Indeed. Which all of us own one now. And whenever we realise how bad it is, you have to get Piggy Blinders. Piggy Blinders. I look like Piggy Blinders. That's how I justify mine.
I had this hat pre-Peaky Blinders. This is very much my Romford Market Saturday morning hat.
Uh-huh.
Three apples a pound. Three apples a pound.
Like that. Have you ever had three apples for a pound.
Have you ever sold anything on a market stall?
I have worked at Romford Market selling fruit and veg.
And
I don't think that was the right price, but that's all you basically do. You have a silver bowl, and you go, three apples a pound. Like that, and people come over and assume that's English, and you buy stuff off them. That's
my local market in Islington's Chapel Street Market, which is now a pale shadow of its former self, you could say, a bit like this podcast. But at the time, was a thriving market. My sister ran the HR department in Marks and Spencer's on the very corner of the market. In the summer, when she had the window open, her life was destroyed by a man selling tomatoes, because from 7:30 in the morning until 7:30 in the evening, he would describe to the passing housewives how firm his tomatoes were. And he did it with a shout out, the street cry of, they're rock hard, mum. They're rock hard salad, mum. They were rock hard salad tomatoes. They're rock hard salad, mum, for 12 hours a day. Now, you must recognize this street cry. They're rock hard salad, mum.
You don't need to make any literal sense. You just need to have the right intonation in your voice.
Of course.
That's all you need.
Can I ask you? You're a much younger man than me, Tom. So when you were working on the Romford Market, on the vegetable stores, with what I understand is called a flash, the business when you pile them all up in at a 45-degree angle, I'm told is called a flash. Were you still doing the prices on those placards that you stuck with a big pin?
Yeah, and you write them in pen. So you've got six bushels of grapes.
But there was a really special way that they used to do it. Like the figures themselves, like four, if it's 4 shillings or four pence, they very thick down one side and getting thinner at another.
See, I was only there for like 2 weeks. Yeah. Not enough to learn the full trade. I just got a Sharpie out and wrote it.
I seem to know more about the rock hard salad trade than you do now.
But I can tell you how to steal apples from your employer and get fired if you need help.
Okay, well, I'll swap you one day off air with my story of how many T-shirts, when you're a thinner man than I am now, when you can take from your employers when you worked for a clothing company on a Saturday evening, when you would enter looking like a stick man and leave like Billy Bunter because the amount of clothing you were wearing. Mind you, they were paying me nothing, so I don't really regret it.
Yeah, if you're volunteering, steal what you can. That's the Danny Kelly mantra.
Yeah, that's how I've got where I am today, of course.
Yeah, I'll say you got that fascinator, isn't it?
I've stolen whatever Howard Stern has left on the table. God, I'm bigging myself up there, aren't I? Bloody hell.
I'll have one more bit.
Make sure it's rock hard salad, though.
This is rock hard. This is from my friend Charlie Stilitano's podcast this week. Gareth Bale was a guest on it, and he was asked about going to MLS. And I loved this answer so much, I wanted to bring this to you. He said, MLS, it's a league on the rise and continues to grow. Many players want to come to MLS right now. It's definitely something that I'm interested in doing. A brief pause, and he says, I love going to LA. I also really love playing golf there. So it may well be on.
Yeah, no wonder I love Gareth, of course I do, but no wonder his teammates get fed up with him, because he can't end any sentence now unless it's got Cardiff or golf in it.
Yeah. Like you could even hear when he was talking, he's thinking, do I want to go there? And he's thinking about, oh, a beautiful course in Orange County I played once.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely, yeah.
I could go there, yeah. I could play golf there.
Listen, it's been a pleasure and a joy. Thank you, Tom. We'll do this again next week, I think, yes?
Why not?
Till then, everybody, I say thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Tom for doing this with me. Keep safe. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
And we'll see you in Perth.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.